And I think people have been struck by how relevant the book of Esther has been to our own circumstances, as the people there in 5th century Persia tried to live in an empire which regarded itself as multicultural and yet struggled with so many issues. We take up in the book of Esther in chapter 8, just after Haman gets his just deserts. Haman, the one who had built a gallows to get rid of Mordecai, just because he annoyed him and because he disliked his racial background. So Haman was hanged on the very same gallows that he meant for someone else. And then the king put things in place for the future. And we see that in the first couple of verses of chapter 8. We're on page 495 in the church Bibles. If you brought your own Bible, it'll be a similar sort of page. Esther chapter 8, verse 1. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave to Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her. Then the king took off his signet ring, which he'd taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. So Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. I guess at that point, Esther and Mordecai could have thought, oh, we're all right now, so let's enjoy life and leave it there. But they didn't. Because they knew that all of the other Jewish people in the empire were still in peril of losing their lives. Jews all the way from India to Sudan were due to be slaughtered in just a few months' time, because it was written in the law of the land. The enemy of the Jews had heard these laws read out in their marketplaces, and they knew the law of the Medes and the Persians couldn't be changed. So although Esther and Mordecai were delivered from death, their fellow Jews were in great danger still. And so Esther and Mordecai decided to be faithful and to do something more. And Esther took the risk again in the royal court before the king. Verse 3. Then Esther spoke again to the king. She fell at his feet, weeping and pleading with him to avert the evil design of Haman and the plot he had devised against the Jews. The king held out the golden scepter to Esther, and Esther rose and stood before the king. She said, "If it pleases the king, and if I have won his favor, and if the thing seems right before the king, and I have his approval," she was very careful, "let an order be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, which he wrote, giving orders to destroy the Jews who are in all the provinces of the king. For how can I bear to see the calamity that is coming on my people? Or how can I bear to see the destruction of my kindred?" And then King Ahasuerus gave them permission to do something about it. This is a warning and an inspiration to us. As Christians in Britain, nearly all of us are able to live freely according to the Word of God in the Bible and Christian conscience, to a large extent anyway. But so many of our Christian brothers and sisters elsewhere cannot. For many, as they live peaceably amongst their neighbours and faithfully to Jesus, they are in fear of losing their livelihood or even their lives. And actually the pattern is very similar to in the 4th century BC, from India to Sudan, and further on in both directions. The people of God are in peril. If you'd like to hear more, there'll be an opportunity tonight at the Methodist Church at 6 p.m. where Open Doors brought along a North Korean to tell their story. But I think we do well to encourage one another to follow Esther's example by not just taking it easy because we have it easy, but by standing up for our fellow people of God in their hour of need. We do well to stand with all those who are under threat, not just the hundreds of thousands of fellow Christians in so many countries, but also, for instance, decent Jewish people in many places today, including parts of our own country, who are targeted and need our encouragement. Indeed, this weekend, decent Muslim people in many places will be feeling vulnerable after the latest Islamic State atrocity in Paris, and they need our reassurance. And the people of France, our neighbouring country, need our solidarity. And let's recognise and just have a think for a minute about something which is very hard: knowing what to do in the face of those who want to kill you. And what would we do if a certain type of Muslim person is intent on targeting and killing us? And because they see that their law encourages them to do just that. Let's be helped in our thoughts by seeing what Esther did when the Jews of the Persian Empire in the 5th century BC were in similar peril from unscrupulous enemies. The first thing she did after she'd prayed and fasted was to make representations to her government. And she was the queen, so that meant approaching the king, which wasn't, as we know, the easiest thing to do. But that's what she did. She made representations to her government and used what influence she could to influence her government, the governing authorities. That's a Christian thing to do, as well as a Jewish thing to do. And writing letters to MPs, supporting good and effective lobbying groups, is an important way of supporting those in peril in our land and in our world. And Esther did it. So, for instance, when she was given permission, verse 9, the king's secretaries were summoned at that time in the third month on the 23rd day, and an edict was written, according to all that Mordecai commanded, to the Jews, to the satraps, governors, officials of the provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, to every province in their own script and to every people in their own language, and also the Jews in their script and language, letters in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed with the king's ring, sent by mounted couriers, riding on fast steeds bred from the royal herd. That's quite an interesting little paragraph with lots of detail in. And what the detail shows is that they were doing all they could to avert what would be an even greater tragedy. Now, this is dangerous territory. It's hard to think about and get right. And what do you do if people are planning to kill you and they think they're right to do so? And that was the situation in Esther's time. The law of the Medes and Persians could not be revoked. And so the previous law, which said on the allotted day, the 13th of the 12th, the enemies of the Jews could attack and kill the Jews. That was in law. So the response of Esther was to pass another law and get it out as soon as she could, with all possible ways she could, so that the Jews were given legal permission to respond with like for like in order to defend themselves and their lives. And this was done in a way which was in line with God's teaching in the Old Testament. And the point was this: the retaliation must be limited and measured. And that's such an important thing for today. So the edict went out: the retaliation must be limited and measured. Only on that day could they retaliate. Only if they were attacked first could they retaliate with like for like. And they were only to kill those who tried to kill them. And in this way, God's word ensures that retaliation should in no way be escalation, because that is the real dangerous thing, as is clear from Old Testament teaching. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Limited and measured retaliation. So that's what Esther was doing, working through government representations to allow people to defend themselves from violent attack and to make sure that retaliation, defense, did not escalate the violence, but that it was measured. Now, as Christians, we have even more teaching than that. As well as the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, where Jesus goes farther. He says in Matthew chapter 5, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go the second mile as well. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your heavenly Father." Jesus wanted his followers to be like God. In this respect, Jesus' teaching is so different to so much other teaching. And we do well to recognize that Jesus didn't just teach it, he did it. He took great physical abuse from the authorities and religious enemies that he had for no good reason. And at the same time prayed, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." The Christian way is truly impressive, and we need more of it in this world if we are to come through well what so many are going through at the moment. The Christian way is truly impressive, and if you want to be like God, this is the way. If you want to be with God at the end, there is no better way. But let's recognize it is so hard. Many of our Christian brothers and sisters in Asia and Africa have suffered faithfully and even been martyred at the hands of representatives of government authorities and groups like Islamic jihadis. Hundreds of thousands. And we thank the Lord for their faithful witness as Christians, their faithfulness to God's leading, to Jesus' leading. I don't know, I sometimes think about these things as I did last weekend. I don't know what I would have done if a jihadi had walked through the lich gate into our remembrance gathering last Sunday. I pray that I would be faithful under fire. And I pray that our government protects its people. It's better than a lot of governments around this world. And I pray that our government recognizes these threats for what they are, because they so often seem to be soft and muddle-headed about what's really going on. But it's hard, and we do well to help our government do better and to encourage one another to be more like Jesus and have a measured response and a faithful response. Life for the Jewish people in Esther's time was so difficult. And let's face it, because we maybe haven't faced it ourselves yet, The choice for so many of them in that empire at that time was be killed or kill. And the same choice is there today for so many people faced with suicide bombers or gun-toting murderers. There is no easy response. Nobody should pretend there is. But it needs everyone to be courageous and faithful and measured, with governments doing their job and allowing people to say what needs to be said and to defend themselves, especially if the government's reach is poor, as it is in so many countries like Nigeria, Kenya, Uganda, Central African Republic, and many more, or in countries where the government is actually complicit in disadvantaging Christians or other minorities and supporting the thugs, as it is in so many Muslim, Hindu-led countries in that arc which was mentioned in the book of Esther. And we do well to remember that in the end it is God who is in charge. It is God who gives deliverance. And the last chapter or two of Esther, there's chapter 9 and chapter 10, is the Jewish people recognizing that it was God who gave them deliverance. And they recognized this and wanted to remember it by setting up a new festival to celebrate their deliverance from annihilation. They called the festival Purim, and it was quite a clever title. The word poor meant lot. And in that empire, the authorities of Persia were very superstitious and very fatalistic. And so they did quite a lot of their decision-making by throwing lots, or like throwing dice, I guess, seeing how the dice fell. So poor was the sort of dice thing that they used. And I guess what the Jewish people were saying was the empire thought it was all by chance, by luck, but actually it was by God's hand that we were delivered. And they celebrated that by 2 days of gladness and feasting and gifts. And Jewish people still celebrate that for 2 days each year in the same way. Now, not many of us are Jewish people. We are Christian people, and we have a different focus for our thanks, for deliverance. God's people do well to be thankful, and Christians know well that the Lord alone can save us from death. And we thank him for his salvation, a free gift offered to all, which enables us to live even though we die, and enables us to be victorious even though we may face great evil. The Jews have Purim, we Christians have Easter. And in this communion service, we remember the deliverance and salvation which Jesus has given and offers to everyone. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. This is the sort of belief and the sort of philosophy which will help put things right in this world. We need that more than ever. We need the Lord Jesus more than ever in our world. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that what you did and said was so different to what so many do and say. Please help us to be faithful to you and your good news and your ways. Please help our brothers and sisters around the world and all sorts of people who are in peril at this time and in mourning at this time in so many countries. Have mercy, Lord, and show governments and show all peoples good ways forward through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.